come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. I am Ron Cowgill, and the Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 773-763-9278. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 773-763-9278. All right. Open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we'll have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. In the second hour, we'll be talking with Ash Nissan. He's the Northside home guy, and we'll find out what's going on in the real estate market this fall. And then, of course, gardening with Laura Waring in the Mighty House Greenhouse. And in the third hour, what everybody sticks around for, Clutter Clarity with Robbie Earhart and your phone calls the entire 3 hours. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call, it's 773-763-9278. You too can ask Robbie how the Muckfest went.
I'm wearing my Muckfest shirt. I'm a top mucker.
You're the top mucker?
I'm a top mucker.
A top mucker? What's that mean?
It's for people who fundraise. Like, you get certain
That's
levels.
Good for fundraise. And it was a good job. Hey, other than going around all the obstacles. Stop.
Turn off your other mic.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know I went around obstacles?
What do you mean?
Did I say I went around? I did a couple.
Yeah?
It was really, really, really hard.
I got it.
Oh, there you go. Good.
Here's a funny story, though. Chicago, either Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, I think it's Chicago Fire is now posting that they're looking for extras.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, they film in Chicago, so they're always looking for specific. They're looking for people to do a mud run.
There you go.
I know. So they're like, send us, you know, your picture. And if you've done a mud run, send us your picture doing a mud run because we need extras to do a mud run. I'm like, woohoo! No.
Uh-huh. You know what?
Because they probably want to treat somebody for, you know, having a heart attack at it, which you might fit that
Hey,
group.
I can do that one.
That is probably very true. How hysterically funny.
I could fill that one for
That's
sure.
Funny. You know, so my niece did one episode. So there's the new one, Chicago Justice, is coming out in January. And so my niece is, like, on the list, you know, so when they need extras, they send her. So she did some big college scene where there was a big fight that's going to be, like, the pilot episode. But then she got an email saying they're looking for somebody to just be a dead body, like, to be on the gurney with the sheet covered up with just their toes sticking out. I'm like, you really have to cast for that? You think you'd get like a PA or something?
You're posting pictures of your feet all the time.
You have to have blue toes.
That's very, very funny.
But do you know the new show they're coming out with after this? What's the new one they're just coming up with right now? The Justice?
Chicago Justice.
You know what's next? Chicago Sanitary District.
You're funny.
That's it. They're going to follow garbage guys around picking up garbage. That's the next Chicago one.
Why not? It makes money.
It's the only department left in Chicago they haven't made a show about yet. Chicago Sanitation.
It's kind
coming
of,
to you next season.
I like it. I like the idea. More chance to be an extra. So if
coming
anybody
to an alley near you.
Coming to an alley near you.
If anybody's done a mud run, you can be an extra on Chicago Fire. People love those shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So sign up and you could, you know, lay on a gurney. You get paid, to lay on a gurney and.
And fed, I think, too, right?
I don't know if.
Don't they have that big table of food?
For the extras, not usually. The extras, usually you have to, you know, but I don't know. Anyway, so thank you to everybody who supported the mud run. Thank you very, very much. And so for 24 hours afterwards, I'm like, never again. But now I'm like, hey, if it doesn't rain next year, I'm in.
Well, even if it does rain.
But it's not much of a mud run if it's dry. It seems to me you had perfect weather.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you got washed
However,
off as you
However, I
were
am
going.
Sitting in South Florida where it's toasty, but it seemed to me.
It rained.
Well, yeah, you were in the mud anyway.
I mean, literally, I should show you my toenails. There's still mud under my toenails. And I had shoes and socks on. There's still mud there. Everybody had it in your ears, in your nose. It was everywhere, and it was cold. And you know what was weird, which you don't think about? So you are doing a 5K, you know, which is three.
Which I never, that never clicked, that you're actually running a 5K in the process.
Yes. Yeah, didn't click with me either till I got there.
You went, uh-oh.
I'm like, okay, so maybe, you know, there's 3 miles worth of obstacles, which there are. But in between the obstacles, you're running.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which, let's just say. But you're running on mud.
Yeah, so it's not an easy run.
Hard,
no. Yeah, there was. And people are just wiping out. And then so we're in like cornfields in Lake County, which you wouldn't think of in Chicago cornfields. But we're like in fields at the Lake County Fairgrounds. So you're running on tracks and it's all mud. And then next to it, okay, so I'm like, I'll try to run on the grass. Well, that's slippery as heck.
Uh-huh.
So the next day, like your muscles on the sides of your thighs, your stabilizers or whatever, like, oh, yeah. But kudos to everybody who, 3,000 people did that.
Wow.
Yeah, every 20 minutes there was another. But there were awesome volunteers. And again, all of the money goes right to research for MS. I mean, there were lots of, you know, cool things there. You know, you got a T-shirt and you got this and that and the other thing. But your entry fee was $80. Mm-hmm. And so that paid for all of, you know, that kind of stuff. So
all the overhead costs.
Yeah, all the overhead costs. So all the money went straight to it. Oh, my gosh. And when you say mud run, you don't picture that everything is also a big dugout because they dug all these pools out like 7 foot deep, like trenches. So you're like, oh, it's a mud run. No, 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 no.
It's a mud swim.
It's a waller.
It's you're a
watering.
Mud. Yes. So like you're running across like a small path of grass, right? And there's these humongous balls hanging over you. Well, you have to push them out of your way to get on this path. Well, as you're pushing them out of your way, you're pushing them into somebody else trying to knock them off. And then you fall into a huge trench of water. I'm like, wait, nobody said everything was a huge trench of water.
Every obstacle?
Every obstacle. So like the one where you walk across the ropes, kind of, you have the ropes above your head that you hang on to, and then you have the ropes. Well, if you miss, you fall into a huge pit of water.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, wait a minute. So it was awesome. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but it was really, really awesome. Maybe next year some more listeners will want to run with me or walk or cry.
Yeah, you posted pictures of you crying.
I cried. I was so miserable.
Well, Ian didn't sound, I mean, he was in the tent. He threw in the towel. He bailed on you, so you were on your own.
He did.
And so he was complaining how miserable it was, and he was under the tent.
Okay, so I talked to him after.
Did you?
Yeah. And I'm going to throw him under the bus here.
Okay.
It's because it's just too funny. The second report, when he called in later, he was standing in his garage. He couldn't take it out there. He went home. So he did his second report he filed in the 10 o'clock hour he did from his garage because
he said he was undercover. I thought he meant 10.
You're kidding.
No, he filed it from his garage.
Oh, my gosh.
He did a good job because it sounded like he was out there.
Well, the other thing which I didn't realize is he could only be there for the beginning.
Uh-huh.
We go 3 miles out into the country.
Into the hinterlands and come back.
So, and it takes an hour and a half to complete this 5K.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't realize that, and probably he didn't either, that he's not going to be able to, unless he did it with me, stand right next to me and watch me do all this.
Mm-hmm.
You can all, and I had no idea it was going to take an hour and a half. So, you know, he was like standing in the rain for an hour, like.
He'd have to stop for a couple of smokes along the way. He couldn't.
Well,
Robbie
signed up for a 50-yard dash, and it turned out to be a 5K.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it said 5K, but come on.
What's that mean? That, you just breezed right over that.
Yeah. Who knew that was for real?
You know, she took it as cookies, candies,
kaleidoscopes,
you know, a whole bunch of Ks, but no running.
How miserable I was. I passed up free food.
No.
I passed up free food. Again, because of the amount that I raised, I got a free lunch.
Uh-huh.
And free beer, but I don't drink. I passed it up. I said, forget it. And I just went in the car. And I
cried.
I went in the car and I cried. Uh-huh. And I said to the kids who were with me, I had niece and nephew with me. I said, just close your eyes for a minute. And I just changed my clothes in the car, just peeled them all off. And then I don't want to get into too many details. Never mind. Let's just skip that. Let's just say I went to McDonald's for a while and they all looked at me like I was crazy. And I walked out wearing nothing but a towel.
Oh, okay? Nice.
Let's just say.
He took a mud bath in the McDonald's bathroom.
Bathroom, no. But then I just peeled off the rest of what I didn't peel off in the car, and I just put a towel around me. But nice. I left without my free food. That's how miserable I was.
Wow, that's bad.
Crying.
That's bad.
It was really bad.
That's bad.
But we're here to help others.
Yes.
Today.
Like you were last weekend by running through the mud.
And everybody who helped me.
Yes.
We had so much support.
How much money did you guys raise?
The team raised over $11,000.
That's excellent.
It was really, really good. I raised $2,000-something dollars. And again, that's thanks to the listeners of Mighty House.
Yep.
So
that's a good job.
Yes. So,
and you didn't have to cut your hair.
No, not like Rich had to shave his hair.
It grows back.
There you go.
Not so much darker, but it grew back.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Cool.
So Kennedy Productions donated a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
Devon Bank donated a great deal.
Yep.
Jeff Merritt donated a great deal.
And Jeff will be on next week.
Yes. Jeff Kaida donated a great deal. Ron Cowgill and Rich Cowgill.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
What's that?
You guys donated a great deal. Thank you so much. And then there were
pass it around.
Also some listeners, Ellen, who donated, and she also has friends who have MS, so thank you. But again, I'm sorry. No more about this till next year. 773-763-9278. We're here to help you. I missed everybody last week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Allie did a good job sitting in for you. We got to talking about real technical stuff and nobody was here to
got
stop
the weeds.
Us.
Nobody was here to stop it. Yeah. Trixie come in during the break and sort of scowl.
Uh-huh.
Did she really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh no, she was yelling at us. Screaming and yelling. Stop it. Yeah.
So we don't have to get technical this week. This week we can just answer some easy questions.
Okay.
Oops, there goes the tip of the week.
What's the tip of the week?
Later.
Later. You find out in the next segment what the tip of the week is.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And the Klein Tools, we had Mark on last week.
What?
Yeah.
Mark. Yeah, and the phones didn't crash. They came very close.
Wait, we had Klein Tools on last week?
Yeah. Mark was on. In the 10 o'clock hour. So what they did, they have that Electrician of the Year award thing that they put out. So they had that going. And so they have their finalists for each region. So now if you want to go vote for the, the winner, they get electrical tools for 10 years?
Yes.
Free tools for 10 years is what they win.
$2,500 worth. Is that what it is?
Per year, I think.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tools. So anyway, you can go vote for your fan favorite, and then that'll help select the grand prize winner.
Mm-hmm.
There are six regional finalists across the country. So you can go and select the one you want. And of course, I went on there. I voted for Bill, who's the one. He's from Chicago here, and he's the regional winner from our region. So
do you know him?
No. But, you stick with your homeboys.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so that's what I did.
And then maybe we could have him on, maybe, then.
Sure. Yeah. So everybody go vote for Bill. We're going to endorse him. Don't know why, but we just don't.
Because he's local.
Exactly.
He could be loco, but we don't know. But he's local.
Exactly. So KleinTools.com, and you can go vote now there. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill.
Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair.
Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And you can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. All right. We were also at the NARI meeting there Tuesday. And
you were?
Yeah, it was at the Restore Chicago.
Oh, nice.
And they're celebrating their second year there in Chicago. Did you know that Elgin last year raised $750,000 to put towards?
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean,
wow.
Deanna and them, they really bust their humps to get donations, and not just from the general public, but I mean, they go after the corporate stuff.
Yep.
You know, the Ace Hardware had their... Because Ace Hardware is a co-op, and they had the show at McCormick Place.
Yep.
And what did they palletize? They had all the volunteers go out there. They pallet like 270 pallets of stuff.
Yes.
And you don't know what's on them?
Nope. It's
going in the stores.
Yep. And so I was, we were over there, and then I was there yesterday, too. So then I was there, and we were talking. Just last year, just the Elgin store, that's not the other eight that are in the Chicagoland area, just Elgin raised $750,000. That was put towards, you know, new homes and stuff. So Chicago's well on their way. The Chicago store is well on their way of doing that also. They have brand new washer and dryer, brand new refrigerators there.
What?
Yeah, they've got a connection now. So anything that scratch and dent, or if it comes back, they repair it and it gets sent to them. So then they sell them. It's donated to the Habitat.
Brand new.
They're brand new.
Nah.
Yeah, and the Ace show was just here, so... When I was in there yesterday, they had, I think there was 8 or 9 table sets, you know, for your patio table sets.
No.
Just all over the place, brand new. they've really stocked up. They've got a lot of good cabinetry in there again. So they're doing really well. Marco said they're getting a lot of good stuff. A lot of stuff's moving through the store. They're really happy about it. So
did you say brand new?
Brand new.
Refrigerator.
Brand new refrigerator, washer and dryer, stoves.
Those usually aren't there more than an hour. Like,
yeah.
They're open. No, it's 8:25 there.
Right.
They open at 9, I think.
Uh-huh.
So they'll be gone by 10. Those don't last because anybody that has rental properties, blah, 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 gone.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just as an FYI, Rich, the Chicago one, the hours are different. The Chicago one is 10 to 6 Wednesday through Sunday.
Yes. And they're at 6040 North Pulaski if you want to swing by there.
So they'll have those things there from 10 to 10:15.
Dang, I can't get there till like 11:30. Yeah.
Exactly. So the Restore, it's a great resource if you're looking for lightly used furniture. They have all kinds of stuff there. Appliances, cabinetry, countertops. So it's light fixtures. You never know what you're going to find in there. And each day you go, there's something new and different. So it's really a pretty cool place. And there's a Restore near you. So across the country, there's Restores all over the place. Just if you go to, type in Restore and then your local area, one will pop up and you'll be able to go out there and check it out. So it's a great place, and it also supports a great cause. And with that, I think maybe we'll hit the phones here. You ready?
I'm ready.
Sure.
I'm ready.
I thought we were doing tip.
Yeah, I realized, but I was looking at the wrong time segment there. That's next segment. We got one more segment before that. Hey, Ike.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, guys. How y'all?
Good. Calling from North Carolina.
Ike.
Ron, put him in C or whatever. I can't hear him.
There you are.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. The painter at large, I'm mad as hell, and I just keep taking it.
Uh-huh.
I was gonna call you up about some paint stuff here.
Okay.
I don't know how big of a trend it is of where you're at, but most of the new buildings going up, houses, et cetera, around here, they're all using Hardie Plank.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Is that a big trend where you're at?
That, yeah. And also, who's the other one that makes the, there's a
well, there's
CertainTeed.
CertainTeed, yeah.
Yeah. There, and the, it's like the CertainTeed is also a really big one that, that people are using, but that's a masonry type product also.
Yeah, yeah, masonry seems to be the way a lot of people want to go. I've right. also seen them, and I think I talked to you about it before. Some of these idiot builders down here have been using MDF
yes.
on the outside for trim.
Uh-huh, yep.
Which is
and the downside's what?
Absolutely stupid. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, the downside is what? It's compressed cardboard, and if you have a caulk joint fail or the paint fails or water penetrates it any way whatsoever, uh-huh. it's just like a sponge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
But see, that makes more work for you there, Ike.
Hey, there, you know what? That... I've gotten so old in this game that, and, you know, the other day I was painting a different color on a door. A set of doors that were facing outwards.
Uh-huh.
And I put the color on the outside and painted the face of the frame and stood there, and I couldn't remember where the color broke on the frame.
That's nice.
That's how old I am now.
Well, that's because all those oil-based paints you were working with all those years just burned all the brain cells. That's really what happened.
Oh, I got... No. I got much better than that, my friend. I had years of doing epoxies.
Oh, there you go.
Uh-huh. There you go. And, you know, just as a something to use as a chaser, I drank a lot of Jaeger. But I wanted to get into paint a little bit, and the mistake I see being done down here, and it's just driving me nuts, two things. One, and this is for your homeowners out there. One, they're putting flat paint.
Mm-hmm.
Flat paint on the outside on these damn hardy planks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good idea.
That's wrong. That's number one.
Tell
number
us
two,
why.
Well, because you cannot, I don't care if it is concrete, you can't have the number one job of a professional painter on the outside of your home is to waterproof it.
Yep.
You can't have any penetration of water into any of the substrate on the outside of your house. And if you're not using a satin or a gloss of any type of some sort, or you can use a flat, they do have a flat latex now, which is basically the same as using a satin finish, but it's flat. It works the same way as a satin or a gloss. But primarily, you want a gloss on the outside of your house to protect from UV, and it lasts longer, and it waterproofs. That's number one. Number two, where these butt joints line up on the siding,
mm-hmm.
you go and look. Hardy plank tells you got to flash them.
Right.
You flash them and you caulk them.
Right.
You know what these idiots are doing?
Just butting them
they're
in.
Leaving
there.
The
butt joining and no flashing.
No, they're leaving the joints open.
Uh huh. Well, that it drains well, and it dries out faster.
Oh, please. Look, Louisiana Pacific and Georgia Pacific learned the hard way.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And hardy plank owners are going to learn the hard way. This stuff's going to swell. I'm already seeing it. Oh, and one other thing. They're not even smart enough to, and on a lot of cases, they don't even know how to blind nail the damn stuff.
Wow. Well, you know, they're paid to put it up. They're not paid to put it up right. And that's the difference. And in a production situation like that, production homes, they're getting paid by the square, so they slap it up as fast as they can because they were the lowest bidder, and they're moving on to the next house.
Unfortunately,
well,
true.
You know, I've been out this morning trying to looking around to see if maybe I'd find something else to do, and you know, I was sitting at the paint store, and it finally dawned on me when I'm sitting here looking at these guys with tattoos. The wife beater shirts on, their hats on backwards, and their basketball shorts with the nose ring.
Uh-huh.
This is what passes for professional painters these days.
Uh-huh.
I thought all you had to do was stop by. I thought you just had to stop by a box store and get a you know, a brush and a roller, and you were a painter.
No, these guys are driving company trucks and all that. But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't let them near my house. I wouldn't even let them paint my doghouse. And I'll tell every homeowner I ever see and ever meet, on the outside of your house, if you're not dealing with somebody that's waterproof in your house, and if you don't do a little research,
mm-hmm.
you're going to wind up with these yahoos, and you're going to wind up with rot, and you're going to wind up with carpenters down the line that are going to rip you. And
hey, you know, hey, 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 we do a lot of rotten wood repair there, man. And it that keeps a lot of guys busy during the summer.
And if you're a professional, by God, I'll guarantee you one thing, okay? You're smart enough to know that when you make cuts, you seal a board on all six sides, it'll never rot. Am I right?
Yep. Well, we use AZEK. You know, there's a couple different of those PVC products now. So any rotten wood repair we do, we just throw in the PVC, the AZEK type products. And now that way you can paint it whatever you want. You don't even have to paint it. It'll be there,
there you go.
15 right. years from now, and it's perfect.
You know what? That's good stuff. I know it's expensive, but, yeah, that's excellent stuff. They started building the windows out of and whatever. Yeah, I love the stuff. It's easy to applicate, paint to, and et cetera. But, listen, I appreciate you letting me vent, but I want to warn homeowners. Do your research. Do your Google. Go look at the manufacturer's specs on your building materials on the outside of your house in particular, and look at the specs on the paint, and just remember, they always have to seal all six sides of the boards if you're building one, and also remember that you have to waterproof. You don't look at it like, ooh, it's a pretty color, and it'll blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
It's a waterproof. Oh, and one last thing. Don't ever buy into this one coat primer and paint in one and all this garbage. It's a lie, okay?
Yeah. All right. Do you feel better, Ike?
I don't know. I think I'll just go back to the house and cuddle up with my Jaeger and cry in my beer.
All right.
There you go.
The bill is in the mail there, brother.
All right, brother. Later.
Thanks. Bye.
too happy this morning.
Nope. Haven't heard from Ike in a long time.
No.
I say if they sell it's it as building. A one coat primer and
you know
paint,
what?
Then it.
I, on the outside, I'd be a little leery of doing it. And I have to admit, there was a Sunday afternoon where I was doing a laundry, painting up my laundry room, and I did not, couldn't go to the regular paint store that I normally go to. So I went to the big box store, and I figured, what the heck? I'm going to try this primer paint all in one. And it was on bare drywall.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
One coat. It freaking worked. I didn't want it to, but it worked.
There you go.
You got it didn't come out looking splotchy where the taping compound was versus paper?
Nope. I went right over all of it. You know, now I just didn't roll one coat. I back rolled everything. So I rolled it and then I went back and rolled over it again, you know, and then I moved on to the next section. So, but it was all one wet coat that I put on and heck if it didn't work. So, I don't know. We'll see. I was thinking about using it again in the garage just to see how it would hold up in the garage.
Well, I always laugh with it because like when you hear the commercials where it says, you know, paint and primer all in one, so it covers in fewer coats.
Right.
I'm like, well, fewer coats. I mean, if you prime, that's one. Then you paint, that's two.
Right. And then you paint again, that's three.
Well, my point is that would be the proper way to paint, prime, then paint.
Right.
Good paint will cover in one coat. And so you only go around the room twice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a paint and primer all in one and you cover in fewer coats, one.
Yeah, I know. So I might try it, you know, just to irritate Ike. I might try it in my garage here again coming up and see what happens there. Just because the garage needs to get painted too. So, Robbie, on the Twitter, they make a Chicago garbage show. Maybe that if they make the Chicago garbage show, maybe that'll make it enough revenue and we won't be charged $9.95 a month for the pickup.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you aware of that? That's what's happening?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What? That's a problem? $9.95 a month for garbage collection?
Yeah. Well, it was free, and now they've added Chicago. Yeah. In Chicago, now they charge for it, for the garbage.
Well, that's, this goes back to like we were talking last week about building permits. It's, you know, they have all these budget problems, and yet they really aren't charging all that much for a lot of goods and services in the city.
Yeah.
I mean,
$10 a month to haul your garbage out isn't really all that bad. But,
no.
But if you have always had it that way, but now to hit you with it.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
For some people, that's a problem.
And then they tweeted again also, picking up garbage is a tough job thanks to the guys and gals that keep Chicago clean.
Yes.
So that is true, too.
Yes, it is.
So, but I don't know that it necessarily needs to be a TV show, which is what we were talking about in the first hour. Because now they have Chicago Justice, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Med, Justice, Fire, and...
And Sanitation coming next.
PD.
PD. Chicago Sanitation. Uh-huh. Let's try Regina in Flossmoor. Hey, Regina, you're in Mighty House.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, you had a comment for Ike?
He had me cracking up. I mean, I'm in my truck as usual, and I'm all set up so I could call you guys, but he can't. I mean, he was just too funny.
I know. Yeah.
I got a question, and I still may have to call you back because I can't write anything down that you're going to tell me, but at least it'll be floating around in my brain.
Okay.
So, okay. I recently installed pine doors, you know, hardwood doors, because mm-hmm. when my house was, remember, I'm the one that called about the clay dirt and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. But anyway, so I'm replacing things in my house, and I had these old ugly hollow wood doors. I couldn't stand them. My family got rid of them. So now I've got them up, and they're just gorgeous, and I want to high gloss stain them, you know. What do I put on them? I've heard a promo you do. So I want to do them myself.
Uh-huh.
And so what do I start? I don't have to stand them, do I?
Oh, well, yeah.
You do. What species of door? They're pine, you said?
Uh-huh. They're okay. 6-panel pine doors.
Yeah.
Okay. So step one is sanding sealer. And you will put that on there. It's a clear coat. And then it will also raise the grain a little. And then you'll actually want to let that dry. Then give them a light sanding with 220. And then wipe the door down.
Wait, hold on.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to put you on hold, Regina. We're going to take a break. And then we'll come back and we'll give you this all down one more time. How's that?
Okay, babe.
All right. Hold on. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill. Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair. Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is @MightyHouse. And if you give us a call at 773-763-9278, you can ask Robbie your questions also.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go from there. Did you turn your mic off there, Rich, on the other set?
Yes.
I heard it echoing. I wasn't sure. All right, let's go back to Regina and Flossmoor. And she was asking about staining pine 6-panel doors,
right,
and how to properly go through this. And Rich's first step is the one that everybody misses. That exactly. is really, really important. So you still there, Regina?
Yeah, I am.
Excellent. Okay, here you go. Rich.
All right, now we're not up against a break, so I can do this properly. Pine, the species of tree that you're using, a pine, when you stain it, if you do not use a sanding sealer first, it will come out real splotchy. Pine does not absorb stain in a very even manner. So you put a coat of sanding sealer on the door, let it dry, and then give it a light sanding with 220. And then I like to use a vacuum and just vacuum all the dust off, and it just works better. And then you go ahead, stain the door whatever color you like, and you can work that stain and get it to, and you'll see that it'll take it nice and even. And then make sure you do the top and bottom of the door. So you may have to take them off the hinges to do that, because if you don't seal the top and bottom, the doors will expand and contract more, because it'll, not only will it absorb more moisture, but it'll set Ike off.
Yeah.
yeah. But anyway, and then you can use any type of polyurethane you like. I do like high gloss water based urethanes, because the water base is low VOC, dries in half an hour. So you can do 2 or 3 coats. And again, make sure you sand between coats. And if you're using water based, do not use tack cloths. Tack cloths have wax, and you'll end up getting fish eyes in your finish if you use tack cloths,
which is blotchiness in the finish where it doesn't cover evenly.
I've seen it. Okay, well, this is quite a few steps.
Wow. Oh yeah.
Okey-doke. All right.
Now. Oh yeah, that's to properly stain a door is not a 5-minute job. Don't buy into that. I mean, as much, and I'll be honest with you, I love Minwax products. I use them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate that commercial of theirs.
Yeah.
You know, where they just show somebody staining a table and then putting a coat of urethane on, and it's a gorgeous table.
Yeah.
Now, if you're dealing with oak, you have to use grain fillers. You have to, you know, there's so many steps to doing this stuff right that you just don't get, people just don't do.
Right.
And that's how you can always tell a homeowner from professional. But that, again, I've seen lots of professionals that don't know what they're doing either.
So, go ahead.
Do I have to have any concerns on the bathroom door? Do I do any extra steps for those? I mean, the side that's going to be in the bathroom is going to be exposed to a lot of moisture, you know. It wouldn't matter?
I would, no. I mean, if you use a good polyurethane, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, the key is doing all six sides of the door.
Right. And you have one of the greatest family-owned paint stores there in Flossmoor, right on the corner. I can't remember the name of it.
I know what you're talking about, but I get a lot of my paints from there. Homewood. Uh-huh, over in Homewood. Mm-hmm.
Yep, because those are on Ridge. And those guys, they have actual what they call grain filler, if you're doing oak. Grain filler is a paste that you actually rub on the wood prior to staining it, and it fills all the pores so that when you lay down your finish, it gives you that glass finish.
Nice, smooth finish.
Right, where oak, it's so porous that the urethane will go into the pores, and you end up with all these holes. And that's why you don't get that smooth glass finish, is because of the pores. You've got to use a grain filler. And most people aren't aware of that. So, but that's on oak. You don't have to do that on pine.
Okay.
Pine,
okay.
You're pretty good. Just use that sanding sealer first step.
Yeah, I want to try to get all this done before the holidays. You know, this is my favorite time of the year.
You're way ahead of schedule.
You got to pace yourself, Regina.
Well, I got a lot of doors to do. I mean, you know, this is going to be a project, and then I still have to eat for a living. It's cooking every day. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But this is the project I want to get done and have everything run nice for the holidays while I can still open the windows. Like I was saying, you know, this is my favorite time of year to paint doors.
Yep.
Early spring, this time, you know, because you can open your air, you know, air the house out and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, you guys are very helpful as usual.
Excellent. Glad we could help.
Glad we can help.
Yikes. Okay, take care now.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, right now is a great time of year to be painting also because it's the humidity is not really high, great temperatures. If you're painting when it's really, really hot out, it dries too fast. It doesn't absorb into the wood properly or into the materials that you're painting. You want it to cure and slowly cure, and the slower it's curing, the better that paint is going to hold and do its job. So this is a great time of year to be doing it. So
kind of soak into the surface and
bond. And if you're painting in the middle of winter, it works okay, but it's really, really dry inside the house. So, it dries too fast. So
I like doing exterior painting when it's 20 below zero. Because then I never work up a sweat.
Right.
And then in the spring, it thaws and dries.
Exactly.
Gives you like 2 months to work out runs. Just kidding, people. Don't do that. Somebody will go, I did it. Rich said you'd do that.
Hey, Trixie, what was I calling me a liar about? Do you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
What did she say?
That when I used the one coat paint, you know, we were talking about the one coat paint.
Yes.
And I wanted to call me out. He called back and said that I was a liar, that it didn't cover in one coat. Well, and he said I put 2 coats on, which what I did was I would roll the first coat on and then that one section of wall. And then as that was soaking in, it would just flash and I would come right back on it again and put the second coat on. So technically, did I put 2 coats on? Yeah, but I only made one wet pass.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. One dip in the pan.
Right.
I don't use a pan. I always use a bucket, but whatever.
Exactly, with the screen. And
yeah. I don't know why anybody ever uses a pan.
It was a pain in the butt.
When are we doing the tip of the week?
Squeak.
Oh, we could do the tip of the week. You want to do the tip of the week, Rich?
Sure. We'll get off painting and finishing. We'll go to plumbing now.
Oh, excellent. Always like a good plumbing. Oh, did you see that picture that we put up on the Facebook?
Yes.
And the Twitter? Oh, yes. My God.
the sink and the
with the crossover pipe. Yeah.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, Sparky.
All right.
So if you want to see that picture, you got to go to the Facebook and check it out.
We'll talk about that next hour. My time, damn it.
Hey.
Don't want me Robbie? Swearing on an air.
Robbie, how'd the Muckfest thing go?
What? Go!
All right, so, Robbie, just a general question. Have you noticed, pictures of houses and a lot more wall-mounted faucets?
Yes.
You know, with the vessel sinks? Okay. So here's a cool thing. I love them, and I love the look. I think they're incredibly gorgeous, and there's a lot of design opportunities between wall-mount faucets and vessel sinks. So here's the issue. So when you decide to remodel it, you use that vessel, how high does the faucet have to be when you rough in that valve? How do you figure that out? So I started doing a little more checking because, I mean, I do this on a daily basis, and we have to do a lot of them, and the vessels are different, the cabinets are different, and so on. Even the faucets, because some come straight out the wall and maybe go down 2.5 inches. Some only go down 1 inch. Some only go at an angle. So this gets really kind of crazy. So you start with the code. Well, the funny thing is the code has no – it does not address the height of that faucet except for the minimum. The minimum that faucet has to be is 1 inch or twice the diameter of the pipe.
1 inch above
the rim. You have to have
an
air cap above the rim, right your spillover. So it would be just simply, you know, like on a laundry tub, you've got that threaded end on a laundry tub faucet typically. All right, well, let's call that a 5/8 pipe. So twice that diameter would mean that bottom of that faucet has to be 1 1/4 inches above the very top of the laundry tub. Mm-hmm. And what that's for is so that you can't siphon water. If the tub's overflowing, you can't siphon water back and contaminate your potable water source.
Correct.
So there's the code. That's it. Done.
Uh-huh.
Now, if on a vessel sink you placed the tip of that faucet 1 1/4 inches over the rim of that vessel sink, that's fine, except you can't wash your hands.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because you can picture it. You can't get your hands under that faucet enough to, you know, the vessel might only be 3 inches deep.
Yep.
You know, so it depends on a lot of variables there. So I did a lot more Googling.
Googling?
And checking around. And I found a number of plumbing blogs.
Okay.
And a lot of guys, and this is not an uncommon question, so that's why I thought I would throw it out there.
Right.
So all the plumbers seem to have settled on putting the bottom of that faucet 6 inches above the lip of the sink.
Okay.
So that seems to be the plumber's standard. And I invite callers, you know, plumbers, whomever, call in. And, you know, they talk about the splash and all that. So that's the height. Now, the other thing you do have to check is your spout length. Because you want the spout to hit about the center of the sink, you know, and minimize splash and all that. So, long story short, do the math. It will determine the height of that vanity, the vinyl vanity top height, the top of the vessel, where that spout has to go, and that'll determine your rough-in. And it's quite a bit of math involved with every one I do, and I did three of them yesterday for, you know, different, for the same house and different bathrooms.
And each one was different, right?
Absolutely, because the vessel sink is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the real trick is the top of your vessel sink, maximum height on that should be 36 inches.
Yeah, which is...
You know, like a standard vanity is 30 inches, and then sometimes I have a vessel that's 7 inches tall. Well, that means I want that vanity base and top to be at 29 inches so that the top of that sink is no more than 36. 6-inch air gap, you would say, okay, 42 inches, right, for your... 36 plus 6, right? So you're 42 inches, except the spout goes down 2.5. So the center of my valve has to be at 44.5. And that's what I'm talking about, the math.
Wow.
And now you do the side view to figure out how long that spout has to be. So that's the tip of a week.
Wow.
Hopefully you kept up with that.
Robbie's
sleeping.
Just saying, they look great, but...
Well,
there's some math involved there.
And the thing I like is people don't realize, especially to retrofit one of those into the wall, they I'm just going to throw this in. Well, no, you're not just going to put that in. We got to take the wall, cut the wall open, move the pipes,
you know, rearrange everything, and then we can close it all back up. Oh, well, I don't want to do all that. I didn't want to have to repaint. What do you want to? We can run some garden hose up the wall if you want. I don't know how else to get
it done. Well, that's what we do. It's, you know, we run a hose everywhere.
Yeah, I know. You guys run that PEX stuff every place. That's not fair.
That's not PEX. I can't remember what this one is.
Oh, no?
Five eighths
garden hose or half inch garden hose?
No, 5/8 garden hose. No, it's half inch. 3/4 and half inch.
Three quarter and half inch. No idea. We lost Robbie
long
right there.
Long time ago.
Somewhere.
Nerd alert. All right. We'll be back in the next hour with more of your phone calls and emails and other great stuff. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.